The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
So I'm joined today by Neil Herbert from Atlantic Lithium. Neil, two announcements out today from Atlantic. Both look pretty good. Last time you were speaking to Vox, you said that Atlantic had one of the best, or perhaps one of the simplest projects you've ever been involved with. These two announcements today seem to sort of continue along that theme. What are you feeling about Atlantic at the moment?
Thank you, Alistair. Good to be here again. So feeling pretty good at the moment. We've got two sides, I suppose. You're talking about the interim announcement. What that really draws out is the milestones we've achieved in the last half year, and indeed the milestones that we're working to now. So obviously we achieved the agreement with the government for the mining lease at the end of October last year, which is a very important step. Earlier this year, we completed an investment by the Minerals Investment Fund out of Ghana. So that's the sovereign wealth fund of Ghana, which was a very important step for us into Atlantic Lithium. And coming up, what we've been working on, so obviously shareholders don't necessarily see visibility on these things until we announce them as being done. But we're now very advanced in working through the Ghana Stock Exchange listing, first and foremost. The second one is the second investment by MIF into the project level of the investment. Obviously, that's a fairly substantial investment, like around $28 million to come in, which I expect as well. And the last one is government ratification of that mining lease. So all of those processes have been moving forward. So, for example, the ratification, I was in country last week just going through the process with the CEO of the Minerals Commission, and the week before, actually in Canada at a big mining event, they had a showcase event in which they were showcasing Atlantic, and we were all talking about ratification with the minister and the head of the parliamentary subcommittee for ratification. So all that's moving on very nicely. And as I say, the processes to complete the GSX listing advanced, and we're working through the hurdles with MIF. So, you know, I would expect to complete all three of those in the next quarter, touch wood, because obviously I don't control the other parties involved, but we are well advanced in all three. So I'm feeling very happy about that. On the other side, on the drill results, Ewoyaa yet again delivered. We've had some of our best intercepts on a property they're calling Dogleg. So yet more results from that. And again, you see these very consistent, you know, 1+% lithium content on nice wide intersections, a really nice addition to the resource. And as we always say, we have 35 million tons in resource at the moment. We'll do another update for that later in the year. But you know, our expectation over the longer term on what is a very big license here, just to keep building that resource. But the main focus here is breaking ground before the end of the year so we can take the project to production.
Yeah, I mean, it really does keep on delivering, doesn't it, Ewoyaa, in terms of the quality of the resource. And it's great to hear you talking about how well you're getting on in Ghana, in terms of the lease, the government, MIF, all those aspects sort of coming together to build a great relationship with the Ghanaians going forward. And hopefully that will continue when you get into production. Let me just take you back a little bit and ask you about money. You were talking about the MIF investment. You ended the year, you've released your interims today. You ended the year with ended the half year with $9.6 million in the bank. MIF is going to bring in some more. You're funded by your partners. ASOR's moving around in the background as well. So if you wouldn't mind, you could just reiterate to investors, the funding nature of this project. Really, it's pretty much done, isn't it?
Yeah, so I think several important aspects to that YouTube draw out there, and one more as well, which is the offtake process. So in the first place, obviously, we have an agreement with Piedmont Lithium. They ran into a little bit of trouble at the end of last year. I'm sure investors will have seen that, but they seem very keen to get business back to normal. So I've had meetings with them over the last couple of weeks. I'm very keen to get back to business, as it were, taking the project forward. So I find that very reassuring. And they owe just a little bit of money, which I think most of which they've paid up. So that's obviously very encouraging. ASOR has been very supportive as a shareholder in the background. And as shareholders will have noted, that we did turn down two proposals to acquire the company at the end of last year. They subsequently increased their stake again. And actually, I was talking to them again recently about their technical involvement, because obviously they have a lot of technical expertise we can draw upon. So it's great to be able to call on them as a resource. Then we have the Sovereign Wealth Fund, which completed their investment into the Topco level into Atlantic Lithium, which is great. They're coming in into the project level as well. And it's very important in terms of Ghana participation there. And more than that, I think one of the really nice things about Ghana, and we always talk about this being a very simple project in terms of it's got great infrastructure, but it also has great people and infrastructure. And our team in country, increasingly a Ghanaian team and led by Ghanaians. And it's a really wonderful thing to see, because often in countries in which we operate in Africa, they don't have that infrastructure, but they also don't have the people assets that you can draw upon, whereas in Ghana you do. So very encouraging from that side. Yes, we had 9.6 million. Really, our cash balance doesn't change very much because we do receive funding from the Americans, from Piedmont, regularly. So we don't really draw much on that cash balance. And obviously, the first 70 million of the CapEx falls upon Piedmont, and then half of all the remaining CapEx. So the last part, which I referred to just a moment ago, is the offtake process. So we've been running that through. So one of the things I was doing in country last week was meeting one of the offtake partners that's visiting site. So, and as I said before, that's a mix of chemical conversion companies, particularly chemical producers of hydroxide. And the second group is trading companies. And it's a mix of Asian and Western entities. So I think we've got six parties in the process. And we're just going through stage two now, of which effectively we're narrowing it down as to which party we want to move forward with. So again, we should have news on that next quarter as well. So next quarter will be a very busy one for news flow.
Yeah, that's great to hear. So you touched on offtake there, and let's sort of draw that to sort of slightly out a bit, or make it a slightly wider topic. In terms of the lithium price, I mean, Ewoyaa still looks pretty robust even at today's prices, but how do you think that sort of affects the way the market views Atlantic Lithium? You know, what's happening with Piedmont? And, you know, is it a serious factor in your offtake discussions? What's your view on the lithium price and how it affects the company?
It's a very good question. So in the first place, I think what has happened to the lithium price, and if you look at lithium, it was the best performing mineral 3 years in the last 10 years and the worst performing mineral 3 years in the last 10 years. Right. So you need to have a project that can sustain production through the lower end of the market. And you will have seen there's been a couple of projects out there, which, to be frank, have now, one of which is now being recategorized as an explorer again. They went to production a year and a half ago as a bit of a darling of the market, but just cannot sustain production at these prices. So what we've seen in the first 3 months of this year is that lithium prices have been firming up. I think we had a low around the mid 800s, and now we've got, for the concentrate, the product that we sell, now in sort of 1,050. So for a project which has an all-in sustaining cost of 675 and a C1 cash cost, I think it's 371. I mean, we have a very robust project. And as one of the mining analysts has pointed out, you're looking at one of the few projects, frankly. I mean, the people were talking about 20-odd projects coming to development. In reality now, on the spodumene side, you're only talking about three projects coming into production, and we're one of them. And talking to the off-takers, really very keen to secure supply for that 2026-2027 period. When, to be frank, everybody's seeing the growth in demand, which is double digit and very strong, and people are not seeing where the new product is going to come from. So the timing of the project is, obviously, we're looking at small scale production next year, but with full scale production the year following. And we couldn't be timing it better, frankly, in terms of the market and their interest. So very, very keen interest from the off-takers, because they see this as one of the few projects that can sustain both the, you know, the bottom end of the market and reap the rewards of the higher end of the market when it comes around.
Yeah, I mean, last time you spoke to Vox, I think there was a discussion about the levels of demand that are likely to come out of China's electric vehicle market in the coming years. And it's obviously not going away. So I suppose the question some investors may have is there any difference in terms of the pricing when you do an offtake as opposed to what you see on the, you know, the generally quoted lithium price?
Yes. So there isn't one unique market and one benchmark, frankly. There are several different benchmarks that are calculated slightly differently. But fundamentally, the pricing is related to those benchmarks. And increasingly, it has a weighting towards actually the chemical products. So the hydroxide and the carbonate prices are actually what drives the price you got. And what that tends to do is smooth the pricing, to be honest, of what you'll receive for your concentrate, rather than having more dramatic upward lifts and downward falls, as it were. So the pricing formula is relatively complicated. You don't reference one market. It references several different markets and indeed the prices of the chemicals for your formula. So you get a more smooth pricing over time.
Right. So we'll sort of wait for the detail on that and work out how it looks.
Yeah. No, it's very encouraging, though. I mean, I must say I'm very impressed by the level of interest from off-takers, because obviously if you're building a chemical plant or you're agreeing to supply a chemical plant, the last thing you want to do is to run out of supply of feedstock, because without that feedstock, you can't run your plant. So it's nice to have parties that are so keenly focused on securing that feedstock.
Is there any particular advantage or disadvantage in being located in Ghana in terms of supplying to the wider market? I mean, I know you're fairly near the coast, which is
wonderful,
and the infrastructure setup's good for you. So, but in terms of shipping to potential customers, is it sort of fairly easy out from Ghana?
We are situated very well, as you say, on the coast in Ghana. And Ghana itself is situated very well to serve North America, very well to serve Europe. Obviously, that's a very short hop, so we have European converters in that process. And indeed, you can serve China as well. So it's pretty well situated for anywhere you want to take it in the world. It's a nice location, and it does come back to the point. The project itself is so near to the port that actually your transport costs are very reasonable.
Right. Before we wrap it up, I've got a couple more questions to ask you. One perhaps is a slight footnote to the main activity, but you're talking about feldspar as well in these announcements. What's the significance of that?
So feldspar is our principal byproduct. I mean, we've been doing studies on this and looking at options, which are not over yet. We think that it will provide us with some value add to the project, which overall reduces your costs because it's done as effectively as a credit against your cash costs, etc. We didn't include that in the feasibility study. So we think that's a nice additional product, and it's a nice product for Ghana because it could feed into the ceramics industry, which the government is looking to build up in the country. So yes, we're moving ahead with that. Do I think it'll make an enormous difference to the economics? I mean, from the studies we've done so far, no, I don't think it's going to make an enormous one, but it would be a nice thing to have, a nice thing to complete.
Fair enough. And so perhaps as we draw to an end, Neil, you wouldn't mind recapitulating the milestones which you're going to have. So, I mean, you mentioned them at the top of the conversation, but perhaps it might be useful to finish with them and sort of take us along the timeline all the way into production, as it were, as you see it.
Sure. Thank you for asking that question. It's a good question. So the immediate milestones that we're looking to complete are, firstly, the Ghana Stock Exchange listing. Secondly, the completion by MIF of their investment into the project level. And thirdly, the ratification by Parliament, which we expect to do in the next quarter. So watch this space. As we go into Q3, the completion of all the remaining permitting steps, we're looking to complete those such that by Q4 of this year, we can actually break ground on the project. So effectively, we start to move the earth, as it were, on the project. What we're looking to do in 2025 is bring in modular production units, which is a relatively smaller scale of production against what we'll be doing on the main plant, but to have that up and running by the middle of next year, so it actually provides cash flow. And we think that provides some nice cash flow for us in 2025 and before we commission the main plant, which we're looking to commission in 2026. What I'm missing out there, obviously, is by the end of next quarter, we'd also like to get the offtake process done. So next quarter, lots of good news flow. And as we go into Q3, very exciting as we complete the final permitting steps and indeed look to break ground on the project before the end of the year.
Great. So busy times ahead, and hopefully the lithium price will jump up when your cash flow starts in a serendipitous coming together of all the planets aligning.
Let's hope so.
Well, Neil, thanks very much for talking to us today, and we'll talk again soon.
Thank you, Alistair.
The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.